From the Basement, the only blockchain podcast that interviews the forgotten and downtrodden devs that actually do the work. Hosted by me, Martin G. Today I've got Manos Batsis here. Hello Manos.
Hey Martin.
And we're going to talk about the open source quarter space. Now, I think many of you listening may already know Manos. I certainly know him through CoreBeans. I think it was one of the earliest open source quarter tools, quarter apps available. And yeah, we're going to talk about, but I think recently his latest one is Voltaire. Is that right, Manos?
No, not really.
Partiture?
No. That would be the RPC pool boy, which is pooling. Yeah.
Here we go.
For RPC, for Corda clients.
Honestly, you thought I'd do some research.
You've been caught up by now.
Right, let's do it. Right, now I want to do these 20 questions because at the end of them, I think everyone will have got to know you a lot better. Okay, so you ready?
Okay, I think so.
Let's do it. What company do you work for?
I'm currently working with Fragmos Chain, which our basic, let's say, focus at the moment is post-trade processes, for example, for OPC derivatives and stuff like that, but on the blockchain, so on the DLT.
Got it. What do you do there?
Most of all, I'm having a great time. I really enjoy my work. Yeah, and this is not something you can easily find. So we have, let's say, the capacity and the initiative to build something new. So Okay. Basically, this is a job.
How old were you when you started programming?
I think I was about 20, something like that.
20?
I didn't actually own a computer before that, so I couldn't really program.
Do you have a nickname?
I've got a few, but they're not for public, let's say, consumption.
where did you grow up?
That's a good one. I was born in Athens, grew up there until I was 6 or 7. And then I grew up and went to throughout school in a small seaside city, Gythion. It's North Peloponnese. It's near Sparta.
I was going to say, so you're telling me you're not a Spartan? Because I tell everyone
no,
you're a Spartan.
No. I can't work out. These guys work out like eight hours a day. I can't do that.
Where did you go to uni and what did you study?
Nothing at all. I only finished technical high school, you can call it, where we did some basic programming like QBasic, Pascal, stuff like that.
When did you start working in software?
Right after school. And that's the reason also I never went to a university. I was either too busy or just could not afford it. It was one or the other. So at the end of the day, the market just took over and studies were left behind. So I didn't need them anymore.
Fantastic. Which industry have you spent most of your career in?
That's an easy one. Unfortunately, that would be the financial sector. So, I mean, nine jobs out of 10 for the past decade at least are in the financial industries. So, or online gaming. So this is really a bad sign. We should be helping more areas as programmers.
Yeah. What's your open source tool of choice?
The open source software available. I mean, that's all I work with. I mean, it's the civilized thing to do.
What's your programming language of choice?
Kotlin. It's the Java we always wanted.
When was the last time you wrote some code and what did it do?
Just before we started this call. And it was testing, basically I'm updating a template, let's say, repository for some of my libraries. It's not updated, so it must be frustrating for everyone. So.
What's your favorite music to listen to whilst you code?
Anything. I mean, it can be, I don't know, Tool, and it can be classical music, and it can be anything that's worth listening to. And and we really don't have enough time to listen to music anyway. So.
Name one skill all programmers should have.
The brain.
Is agile a force for good or a force for bad?
All forces are for good or bad. It's who's using them that decides it.
Do you or have you ever owned any Bitcoin?
No, no, no. And I don't think I ever will. I mean, I never understood why people actually like this thing. It's currency actually should have a backing, real world value. And Bitcoin just wastes resources and presents it as value. So why? It's totally irrational.
How long have you been using Corda for?
That would be since version 3, I guess, which was about 2 years ago.
Why did you get into Corda?
I didn't like Ethereum or Hyperledger.
What is the best thing about Corda?
It has lots of promise. It's a new ground for someone that really wants to invest and try to find the right timing to actually build something useful for a change. And the circumstances are that because there are people interested in it, you have better chances of doing it, or at least working on the same, let's say, scope.
Yeah. What's the worst thing about Corda?
It needs time. And the problem isn't a technical one. It's an organizational one. So we need more trends and some sort of, let's say, agreements and contracts and standards between people that want to work together without actually waiting for just big enterprises to use them between themselves instead of us actually doing something in a wide, you know, platform.
Okay. What's your favorite Corda open source library?
That would be the tokens SDK, because I really, really liked the team that was working on it. You could see that they were working with the community and the issues and, you know, very, very active repository. Great work.
And what's the best place to start with Corda?
Well, you only need the desk. A reasonably powerful computer. And that's the best place to start with Corda. But seriously, to get started with anything in programming, the only real way is to start with a project. So just build something. Choose something, build it.
Well, as somebody who runs Corda Code Club, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
The reason why I wanted to talk to you about open source is because when I think of open source Corda, I really think of two entities. I think of the Lab 577 guys.
Yep.
And I think of you. Yep. And I think, you know, the Lab 577 guys.
I don't think there is any comparison here, but yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, yeah.
These guys are amazing.
They made Braid, Cordite, Network Service, and then XTS, I think.
Yep.
They're the four main ones, I think so. Hope so. And then, but you got out there pretty out the stalls pretty early with Corbeans. I think that was your first open source tool. Yeah, is that right?
It's just an integration library for Corda and Spring. In practice, things you need in any project, you know, small stuff. It's not really important, but it helps. It's abstractions. That's what we do. We build up reusable abstractions. So why not just put the darn thing in a library and put it up there?
And share it.
Yeah, maybe get a hand or, you know, get some help as well.
Well, I think it was very successful because a lot of people have heard of you, right? I mean, yeah, I think it was a fan. I mean,
sounds funny to me. I'm a shy person.
But a lot of people have heard of you, I think, and you know, as a contractor, you know, someone who's running your own consultancy, that's fantastic PR, isn't it? To have gone out there and
I think it's just circumstances. I mean, I'm also getting older now, so I'm trying to do the job a bit better. And this is one of the reasons I try to build libraries. So it's really circumstantial. No one else has done it in the Gorda, let's say, area as a single, let's say, solo developer. No. But stuff like Gorda, it's, you know, projects are more important, surely.
So coming back to the question then, how long were you using Corda for before you wrote that? Before you wrote Corda?
Maybe a couple of months.
So you dived into it pretty early on then?
It's the only way to do it.
I've been looking at the, I was looking over the state, before we had this call, I was looking over the state of the open source scene in Corda at the moment. And, I mean, am I right in thinking that corda.net/samples is the best place to go for a list of open source libraries?
Yeah, it is. But that is addressed, I guess, to people trying to learn. There are also people that have, let's say, reached a certain point and they need to be more efficient. So this is where, or even to be more practical. So this is stuff where, for example, the network map from Cordae is useful to developers.
Yeah, not everything's there. I noticed that, the network map service is there,
it's a necessary
XGS
part for a network.
Sorry? XGS is not there. Pool Boy is not there. Yes. How old is this? Right, what does Pool Boy do, and how old is your Pool Boy open source called app?
It's, I don't know, maybe a few days old. And it's just a... an RPC connection pool based on Apache Commons pool. So it's really nothing special, but it's useful. Basically, it's just that you provide an API from it for other applications to use. So you provide an abstraction that people can use.
What sort of things do you see people using it for?
For example, imagine if you are creating data access services. If you have a standard, let's say, connection pool API for Corda, you can decouple your code from the connections and you can just focus on business logic or whatever. So it's more, you know, more maintainable, basically. We always try to make more maintainable code, hence the need for abstractions.
And what would you say the difference is between, you know, something like Pool Boy that you've written on your own compared to something like the Cordae network mapping service by the Lab 577 guys?
Ah, the network map provided by the Cordae Foundation is actually an integral part in running a Corda network.
Yeah.
So without it, you can't really have a purely open source, let's say, implementation, network implementation. There are some choices, but this is a very useful, let's say, thing to have. It's a real contribution, and that shows what teams can do versus solo developers. And that's, if you want, the major difference between little stuff I built and stuff built by teams.
Okay.
Teams have different levels of different goals.
So it seems then that the Lab 577 guys are coming out of this pretty well. But I've noticed that there are other groups who are putting together open source Corda software. Looking at the corda.net samples, certainly Persistent have come up with nine Corda apps or Corda tools. Now, I don't know if that's because the company encourages people to write their own Corda apps, or if it's a team effort just published under one name. For instance, you've got Amol Pednekar, he's come up with two, he's got two different Corda libraries on there. Nitesh Solanki.
Nice.
Published two different contributions whilst he was at Persistent. I know there's a load of other individuals. And BCS also has got three contributions by three different authors. So yeah, I'm not sure if that's a team effort or what.
It really doesn't matter. The more of this stuff get built, it helps getting momentum for more consensus, and that goes beyond the technical stuff. It starts being about people and how they communicate. So let's do this, let's do that. So it helps with momentum.
If you had and a magic wand. Where would you like to see the Corda open source scene go, and for what purpose would it go there?
This is a very difficult question. I think I would have to be, let's say, pragmatic. So I would be after the ability to have end-to-end financial transactions between just everyday people all around the world. And based on that, we would be able to build whatever we want, because it would be useful. I mean, if I would be able to choose a new offering, that would be the ability to have enterprise-level support, but using the open-source version and establishing an interaction where you can actually actively submit patches and get the thing released and stuff like that.
You mean like some kind of...
But that needs time.
Some kind of mechanism for almost like a bug bounty scheme, where people could be paid. To commit, make commitments to open source libraries.
I would, for example, pay a support contract for that.
You know, about 2 years ago, called a Code Club, we tried to build an open source an open source bug bounty scheme written on Cordite.
Okay. That's actually very interesting.
It was really interesting. It was we just didn't get, like, it was really hard running Corda Code Club sessions in 2019 was basically way easier than running Corda Code Club sessions in 2018. Because 2018, there was just no one, and I've got a rule where, like, you know, I want the people, I really want mainly developers to come to Corda Code Club, and I really want people who are going to contribute, you know, and it's hard, and it's really hard to get like even 15 people in a room. I mean, to be honest, you know, you can get six in a room. Yeah, you can get six in a room in London, but to get the kind of volume that you need to make something happen is just.
I'm sure you really can hard. Get the volume. You specifically can get the volume. The problem is they're all busy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, without doubt. Yeah, everybody's busy. I mean, yeah, as it should be, really, because if they weren't busy, then, you know, we probably wouldn't be talking about Corda.
Yeah, but these community events are important as well. It's a medium for us, let's say, blue collars to interact and, you know, build up things.
So, you mentioned in the earlier part of our conversation about how it was a travesty that so much of you mentioned it was a travesty that so much of like 9 out of 10 programmers today are working on financial services technology, right?
And the other one
out of 10 would be gaming, online gaming. What is there one industry, one sector, one part of human life that you could see an open source a vibrant open source Corda scene complementing, you know, in the near future?
I see the trap you're laying out. yeah. Well, if something doesn't work, you should replace it with something else. The thing is, it's not a rhetorical thing or an idealist, let's say, view. You have to be practical. So you have to migrate how interests work. And this is why end-to-end, let's say, financial exchange for physical people in a global Corda network is important. If you don't like the financial industry, okay, bypass it. But without that working end-to-end, you can't really service the interest of financial transactions. So you can't help people work together.
So effectively what you're saying is a peer-to-peer version of Corda. Great. Well, I think we better leave it on that note then, Manos. Great. Thank you very much for your time. Let's see what the next few years bring, shall we?
Thanks, Martin.
Yeah, take care.
Bye-bye.
You can follow me on Twitter to catch future episodes, and all previous episodes can be found at the best streaming services, as well as on YouTube. This show was made by me, Martin G, and my highly underpaid nephew, Oscar Bennett. and despite a blockchain fairy dying every time I say it, this was From the Basement.